Revelation 21 just a minute. You know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I brought up the subject of conscience. That won't go away. It's like a big weight that presses on me every day. And I keep thinking about it. The word conscience doesn't appear in the Old Testament. Instead, the word heart is used. For example, it says that a man did a wrong thing and his heart smote him. I've written to preacher brethren all over the country and ask them questions about this topic. And I sure don't have many answers from them. I got a note from Brother Pugh, and he said, Brother King, he said, I don't even know what to say. But the more I think about it, considering that conscience is part of our innermost being, that it's that part of us that sorts out between right and wrong, and that heart is the same idea, that conscience can be taught and instructed and grow. All of those things are true. And then I think about the society that we live in today. How that, as a general rule, we live in the midst of a rebellious people where people are self-willed. And where they demand to have their own way, where they are living totally for the lust of their own desires. Scripture says they're disobedient to parents. And I wonder, why is that? It's not just the time. Because it can be different. The Bible says in Proverbs, and we're to guard our heart, for out of it are all of the issues of life. We're told to get wisdom. Wisdom, they said, is a principal thing. And with all of thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. My question is, how do you instill wisdom in a child? I'm not one to follow psychobabble and the wisdom of the world. The answer must be in the Scriptures. And it is. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's why our society is like it is. Moms and dads will not discipline themselves enough and care enough and love enough their children to correct them right now when they're disobedient. And that's why they grow up to be criminals, seemingly without a conscience, because their conscience will not be instructed. They've never been made to be instructed. The sequence is this, I'm sure. I'm dead sure. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now think about that. Doctrine is teaching and rules. I set out rules according to the Word of God. Listen, you hear me say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. If you're a parent, listen, I may make you mad, but you better listen to what I'm saying to you. You better pay attention to what I'm telling you. Because if you don't, you are going to have so much trouble that you will never be able to deal with it when your children grow up. You just mark her down. You have trouble coming like you have never seen in your life if you won't correct them. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but the child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Now, the Bible is the standard for conduct. You don't need 10,000 rules. I don't care if you want your house to look like a pig pen or how you choose to live. That's your decision. But one thing is crystal clear. You must make your children mind you. If you do not make them mind, if you do not force them to mind, you are disobeying God who says, children, obey your parents. You are aiding and abetting his rebellion. And you are giving him a conscience that's void, that doesn't operate, where he feels no guilt and no remorse because the rule has never been enforced. The standard comes out and you said, this is the rule. And then when they don't do it, you don't do anything about it or you put it off till next week. Listen, I am not joking about this. This is so important. It's why the society's the way it is. Why do you think the devil says, the social workers would get into your face if you whip your kids? Why do you think that is? To keep you away from them so you won't correct them. They will never have understanding and wisdom unless you set a rule and you enforce the rule. Parents are not supposed to be friends with their kids. They're supposed to be parents. They're supposed to train them up just like you train a puppy dog. I'm sorry if you see me as a big mouth Baptist preacher with a black hat. You can go ahead and say what you want to, but what I'm telling you is true. what I'm telling you is right. That's why I saw what I saw with the little boy. He hasn't been trained. That's why. He hadn't been corrected. That's why. This grieves me to the nth degree. And then I see young parents coming up after, and they emulate and they follow. Just, and they're afraid and they're timid and they stand back. And they're afraid to do anything. I guess that they're too lazy. I don't understand it. A child left to himself to do his own thing brings his mother to shame. To shame. To disgrace. But the rod and reproof give wisdom. Now, you set the rule. It doesn't make any difference what it is. You can have just 5 or 6. You don't need 150 rules. You basically, for my concern, just a couple of things. Number one, here's rule number one. You do what I say. Because I'm the daddy, and you're the child, and you will do what I tell you. Do you understand? And if you don't do what I tell you, just as soon as you don't do it, I'm going to whip your butt with a switch. I'm going to cut me a little switch off a little tree, and I'm going to put stripes all over your back because the stripe will cleanse the inner part of the land. It gives reproof and wisdom. That's the second part. If the rule is broken, then what you do is correct. For correction comes. And then, after the correction, after the will is broken, not the spirit, but the will is broken, that, you know, one of my kids used to do this to me. I didn't understand what was going on. I wasn't a perfect dad. I'll tell you that by 1,000 miles. There's lots of things I didn't do right. But here's one thing that happened to me, and I see it happening to other people. This little girl did wrong, and she had to have spanking. And I get the switch. And just as soon as I got the switch, she started bawling. And that's designed to smite your heart. So you won't hurt her little butt. But the Bible says, chasten your son while there's hope, and don't let your soul despair with his crying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about cattle beaters. I'm not talking about a father taking a club and beating his kids upside the head. I'm not talking about a father blacking their eyes and all that stuff. That is until a boy gets big enough that he's going to raise his hand or something against his mom. And I'd be like my dad. I backhand him right out the front door across the porch, hit over tea kettle out in the yard, and make him understand I'm the daddy of your son. Listen, I'm so provoked. I'm so stirred in my spirit. It's not just this. It's what's ahead of us. It's what we're going to let happen. We just sit and relax and let it go. Listen, you can't be a lazy parent. When you get married, you're married. And if you indulge yourself and you have kids, then you take care of the kids. Feed them and clothe them and train them.
What happens to those slackers that feel like, if I go to work and I bring home the paycheck and I hand it to my wife, she can buy the groceries, she can do the shopping, she can clean the house, she can take care of the kids, and I'll get up tomorrow morning and go to work. Don't bother me. The kids, Father, are your responsibility. When a child doesn't have a father, what a tragedy. Then mom has to become mother and father. But still, that is the duty if you want the child to grow up and do the right thing and have a conscience that will be pricked by the Word of God.
I'm dead sure that's right. Listen,
you can't instruct them until you break their will. As long as they stand there and they're doing their will, and they're doing what they want to do, and they haven't been corrected, and that will hasn't been subdued, you can say what you want to. And in their mind, you pardon my English, they're telling you to go jump the lake. In other words, they may be standing up, or you may have told them to stand up, but in their mind, they're sitting down, and they're doing what they want to do. I'm going to have my way. And they're not going to be corrected until you break their will. Then, only then, can you instruct them. Then and only then. If you don't do it, I promise you, they will attend the University of Hard Knocks. And it's going to hurt you. I'm not saying you're going to save their soul. That's not what I'm saying. But at least equip them for the life they have to live in this world. Make them responsible to it. You know, I hate irresponsibility. Don't you? You have to teach a child and train him to be responsible. I told him not long ago, I said, you know, when I was in that army, if I had a man like you in my outfit, I would have him buried in sand up to here. He'd be filling sandbags until the cows come home. And he'd probably spend his night in jail because he's irresponsible. There's so many irresponsible workers. They don't care whether they go to work or not. They don't care whether they do a good job or not. They don't care whether they hack their employer and boost him up and let him make money or not. They're all concerned about all of my rights instead of thinking, I'm going to work and this job is unto the Lord. But that has to come through the training of the company or through the University of Hard Knocks.
I think I'm understanding. If the conscience not taught and trained, it's not going to respond. Won't. It knows that it's wrong to dishonor God. It knows it's wrong to dishonor neighbor. But beyond that, it has to be trained. Be a young parent. Say, when will I start? You start when that child is big enough to stick his hairy little toe across the line. That's when you begin, right there. And most of the time, it's before they're old enough to walk. But they can tell you in no uncertain time
that I'm not going to do what you say. I don't like what you said. My grandson, I said something to him and he said, jump right in his place. It irritates older people because God has designed that children look up to their elders. It's a lack of training, but it has to start way down here. If you wait till they're 9, 10 years old, you have a formidable job on your hands that you may never learn.
I think I could stand to see you do what I see coming. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Rest. Rest, sweet rest. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell, that is, from the grave. I'll tell you where they're headed. I'll tell you where they're headed. The drunk pools. The sex pools. The drug pools. Whatever you've got, the reach again. And now forever be a good thing around you. You can change it now. I gave Chris a little booklet the other day. I'm not much of one for booklets. Listen, if people will stay out of Bible bookstores for the most part and leave that stuff alone, just point people to the Scripture, they'd be far better off. I gave him a little book that just went right down the Scripture. Just a little bitty pamphlet. And I said, son, this is the best thing I've ever seen about this subject. I'm not trying to embarrass you, Chris. I'm just telling you that I love you and care about you. Oh, I think about that. Jeff and Angeline, Derek, Kelly, these young people coming up, and some of us still have kids. Rick, I'm still thinking about you, those little girls. Clark, you still got a granddaughter you're taking care of. Lars' kids, Bruce and Liz. Let's help one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's get in one another's face and say, please do it. Don't let him or her do that. Get you a switch right now. And make them behave. I had to say it. I'm not sorry. What I said to you is true. absolutely the truth.